Chuck and Debbie, that was good. What a blessing. I love this story. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Actually, John 3, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I love to read it and love to think about old Nicodemus here. Can you imagine? I mean, he just cannot understand what this is all about, what he's being told here. And he asks the question in verse 9, you know, how can these things be? What are you talking about? And, you know, he's a religious leader. He's a man who obviously he knows the Old Testament. He has known it and studied it. And now what Jesus is telling him, you must be what? Born again? I mean, again, can you imagine this religious leader, this very intelligent man? I mean, he's got degrees. He's been to school. He knows religion as well as anybody knows it. And can you imagine him asking, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be... Can you imagine that, ladies? Can you imagine I mean, it's bad enough when the baby is 7, 8, 9 pounds. Can you imagine 100 and whatever somebody might weigh? We won't guess that, but I mean, seriously. And he actually asked that question. Boy, he's just really struggling, isn't he? He is struggling with something that men struggle with all the time. How can these things be? The month of April has been a time for salvation. We're talking about for such a time as this is our theme for 2013, and all of April is a time for salvation. We talked about the saving of salvation. We talked about the sacrifice of salvation. We've talked about the security of salvation. We already did part one, part two. Tonight we'll do part three. We've talked about the simplicity of salvation, and then we talked about the specifics of salvation, part one, and today we talk about the specifics of salvation, part two. We could go on and on and on and on and on, could make the whole year about our salvation because it is so amazing. How can these things be? I'll be honest with you, a lot of my old friends, they ask me, how can you be so different? Do you remember when your friends asked you that? What has happened to you? My friends, it was more like blankety blank. Really, that's what it was, because that was my life. And it's like, what? And even friends from way back that, they heard that Doug Rogers got saved. They heard that he went to Bible college. They heard. But when I've seen him just recently, we had a little get-together, and it's like they're looking at me like, who are you? How can these things be? What a question. What a great question. So we talk about the specifics of salvation again this morning, and we're going to talk about something that I absolutely love, and that is what Nicodemus had to try to figure out. By the way, Nicodemus gets saved, I believe, and he knows now. He understands it now. He understood it once he believed. He got it once he believed. It's not something we can produce in and of ourselves. It's not even turning over a new leaf. It's God doing a miraculous work that is called the new birth. And it's absolutely amazing. Father, bless the preaching this morning. If there's someone here who's not saved, please save them. Please don't let them leave here without Jesus. Lord, I pray that that no one would be lost when we all go our separate ways this afternoon. Please save everyone who's not. And then I pray that you will speak to every Christian here that we would never, never, never take for granted that wonderful salvation that you've given to us. And challenge us anew today, Lord, with the preciousness of the salvation that you provided for us. Teach us, guide us, convict us, change us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we talk about the new birth or regeneration. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the work of the Father in salvation. That was our last Sunday before we went on senior trip. We talked about the work of the Father in salvation, that is justification. Boy, I had fun on that message. I love that. Justification. In other words, we cannot be saved by the law. We cannot be saved by the law because the law condemns us. And the only way that we can be saved is that we be declared righteous by the Father. That's the only way. You have to be declared righteous. There will be no sin entering into heaven at all. And the law shows us we're dirty. I mean, the law makes that very clear. And so the work of the Father in our salvation, justification, not guilty, declared righteous, but that's all based on the work of the Son in our salvation. I preached on Palm Sunday talking about truth for the time of truth, and I talked about redemption truth. And then also 3 weeks ago, preached on the sacrifice of salvation and spent a lot of time talking about our redemption, the price being paid when Jesus took my place when he died on the cross. And so the work of the Father, justification, the work of the Son, redemption, purchasing my salvation with his precious blood, amen. And this morning now I'm going to talk about the work of the Spirit. By the way, you'll notice I haven't mentioned any work of man in our salvation. I haven't said a thing about what did we do? Well, there is no work of man in salvation. There is only the recognition of man that we're lost and that he's the Savior and simply coming to him. There is no work of man in salvation. It's only so obvious how the devil is always, everything he does is anti, it's opposite of the things of God. Because, I mean, most religion in our world today, and most people, if you went around the world, they think the way to get to heaven is good works. It is so far and opposite of the truth. The work of the Father, justification. The work of the Son, redemption. And this morning we talk about the miraculous work of the Spirit, and that is regeneration. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Again, no work of ours. Nicodemus said, how can these things? Well, it's Nicodemus, you have to understand. You're not going to find the answer in the carpenter shop. You're not going to find the answer in the factories that we've built. You're not going to find the answer in the little shops downtown where man works. You're not going to find the answer in places where men work. You're going to have to find the answer in the Word of God that he has left for us and given us. You're going to find that the answer is he does the work. I'm saved today because he did the work. And so we talk about the work of the Spirit, regeneration. You say, that's a big word, but it's really not that difficult. Again, it is no work of ours. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. In our text, we refer to it as being born again, or we can call it the new birth. Verse 5, look at it. Verse 5 says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It is a born of the Spirit. We were all born of the water. That's how we're here. But a born again of the Spirit, without that, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We all did that. All right? That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. There it is again, referring to the Spirit of God. And verse 8 says at the last it says, whither it says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And so the Father, we see justification. The Son, we see redemption. And this morning, through the Word of God, we see the Holy Spirit's work, and that is regeneration. And it is, I mean, you talk about supernatural, this is an amazing thing. It's how people look at us and say, what happened to you? It's how your old friends, they said, I don't know what's come over you. It's how those the folks you ran with, the folks you sinned with, if you will. It's how they say, "What in the world is going on? You're different. You're different. Something's happened to you." That's the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Number one, regeneration is an event. Regeneration is an event. What's he say? Very, very clear. Jesus does not, it's not confusing. You don't even have to have any other version to understand it. Amen. It's just right here in the old King James Bible. Very, very clear. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, there's no way to misunderstand that. I mean, you have got to be born again. Born again. That is an event. Verse 7, he makes it clear. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." It's an event. We talk about birth as an event. We talk about our birth as an event. You, Brother Letson, he spoke excellent message at the junior senior banquet and talked about, had a little picture of Keziah's little feet and where they stamped those feet down, put them in, put ink on them and put a stamp down there. And that was an event. It marks the day that she was born. It's an event. It is something that takes place. It is a one-time event where we're born of water. We are born into this world. We're not being born. That'd be a strange way to live, wouldn't it? I'm just being born. But a lot of people look at salvation that way. You know, you have to take catechism, you have to take classes, you have to do this, you have to do that. You have to prove yourself somehow. Well, you'll never prove yourself. No, it is an event. It is not a process. Being born is an event. Now, the whole picture, you know, there may be a lot of time involved. Just like a birth, there's a lot of time involved. There's 9 months we know of. And so a lot of things are happening. But the very birth is an event. And salvation, there's some time involved. There's that first time you heard the gospel and your heart was pricked. You remember that, don't you? There was that person that was sitting there in the store and maybe they said, "Oh, the end is near. You must be born again." You know, or maybe you're watching a football game and you saw, "You must be born again" written when somebody kicked a field goal. And God just said, "You ought to think about that." Maybe you went to a youth meeting. Maybe you were like me and went to church because that's where all the pretty girls were. And you heard somebody preach and they said, "Hey, there's a heaven, there's a hell. You need to be saved. You must be born again." And so there's that conviction and you realize you're a sinner and you realize you're lost. And there may be some time involved. But you listen to me, that day that you came to Jesus Christ and you bowed down on your knees and you called out to God, "Oh God, I've sinned against you. Forgive me and save me. Save my wicked soul." At that time. At that moment. I mean, at that very moment, something happened. You were born the second time. You say, "Well, I don't know how to, we can, you know, we can't really prove that." Are you kidding? Here's proof right here. I'm looking around. I don't want to embarrass him. There's proof all over this place. What are you talking about? You can't prove that. "Well, you know, we can't see it happen." Well, you just weren't there by my bedside. The poodle was. The dog was. And I don't know if the dog got excited or not. I don't remember that. But what are you talking about? You can't prove that. Listen, folks. At that very time, something happened. Amen. That very moment, I was born the second time. Literally regenerated. Literally, I was regened. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Genes are a molecular unit of heredity. Yeah. It's what has been passed down to us, the genes. I'm not talking about Levi's. I'm not talking about what we wear. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about our genes, G-E-N-E-S. It's where Genesis comes from, beginnings. Our origins, if you will. And literally, to be regenerated is to be re-gened. This is good. The old genes come from Adam. They're sinful genes. The new genes, They come from God. They're perfect. And at the age of 17, Brother Tim, I knelt by my bed and I called upon Jesus Christ. Oh, a couple days before, a couple weeks before, a couple years before, God started bugging me about that. Sweat, boy, it'd break out on the brow and the heart would beat faster. But I'm telling you, at that moment when I called upon Jesus Christ to save my wicked soul, at that moment, I was regened, regenerated by the Spirit of God Almighty, whereby I received the genes that are perfect genes. It's just a matter of genetics. That's a big thing people are studying nowadays. I wish they'd really study it and get into the Bible and talk about it. It's a matter of beginnings. It's a matter of where did I come from. Our first birth, we came from physical genes, our parents. Our second birth, we come from spiritual genes, our Heavenly Father. First birth, the genes were passed on from Adam. And the second birth, the genes are passed on from God Almighty. It happened the first time you were born, when you were born of your physical parents, and you received genes from them. That is your heredity, if you will. And that was, we all understand that, but I'm telling you today that the second birth, the birth when you call upon Jesus Christ to save your soul, you're born from above. You literally are regened. And by the way, you either are or you aren't. Just like a baby is either born or it isn't. It's an event that takes place. You can't be working on it. Okay, well, go soul winning enough, knock on enough doors, talk to enough people. You'll hear these words over and over. Well, I'm working on it. No, you're not. It's not something you work on. Okay? It is something that happens when you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save your soul. How can these things be? It's an event. Hey, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Well, you know, I've studied. That isn't going to do it. I memorized a lot of Bible. That isn't going to do it. You have to be regened. Your old genes are sinful genes. You have to get new genes. You have to be born from perfect genes. You have to be born from above. Well, and the Spirit does it. That's why, you know, Nicodemus can't grasp this because it's not, well, if I just memorize this or if I just do this or if I, you know, no. The Holy Spirit of God, it's a supernatural thing that takes place. Isn't it wonderful to lead somebody to Christ? Isn't it great to go through the plan of salvation and for them to pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them and save their wicked soul? Isn't that wonderful? Because you know what's happening when they're doing it. The Holy Spirit of God is regening them. Regeneration. They're being born again. By the way, it's the only way to heaven. In any other way. Can't do it any other way. Number one, regeneration is an event. Number two, regeneration is essential. It's essential. There's no way around it in the Scripture. You must be. You must be. You must be. Now we talked about justification, the work of God the Father who declares us righteous. Well, again, there's no other way around that. There isn't any other way. We pointed that out with the exchanging of coats. Jesus took my place. And when I stand before the Father, I'm taking His place. And He's taking my place. I mean, the Father doesn't see me. He sees Jesus. Amen. That's the only way I can be justified. Well, what if you clean up your act? You can't clean up your act. And you know what? You can't do anything about those old genes. Not a thing. That's why regeneration is essential. Why? Yeah, I'm going to turn over. Wait. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 13, 23, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. You say, well, but I am. I'm going to, okay, let's just write down some of your sins over on this side, your sins, okay? And you've got them all written down here. Now, I've just written a short list because you're a pretty good person. Or you're 2 years old. Anyway, so we've written down your sins over here. But now you've decided, you know what, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. And so you start doing a lot of good things. You start giving to charities. You start going to church. You give to the church. Amen. And they're lost, though. We'll take the money. All right. And you're doing all these different things. You've got several lists now of good things. And, you know, that's all wonderful, isn't it? You got all this whole, you've got page after page after page. Now, your sins were, you know, it's just over here. It's just a few things. But you got this huge amount of, you say, okay, I'm all right now. No, because you didn't do anything to get rid of that. You get these sins right here, they condemn you. And so that's justification. But understand now, regeneration is essential because we have bad genes. Why? Because we have genes that came from Adam. And genetically we're flawed. Yeah, I know. You grow up in public education and you think man's getting better and better. It's not even possible. Cannot take place. Okay, it's not possible. And by the way, history will prove that all wrong. And his story always proves that wrong. Okay, man is getting worse and worse. Why? Because of our genes. That's why. That's why the Bible says men shall wax worse and worse. It's because of our genes. It's our nature. It's where we come from. And there's nothing we can do to fix that. Okay, scientists can get out their little test tubes and calculations and computers and everything. You can't do a thing about it. Not a thing. Because here's why. Because of verse 6. Go back to John 3, verse 6. John 3, 6. Here's why. Right here. Jesus says it so clearly. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You say, well, that's obvious. Wait a minute. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Well, yeah, we understand that. Okay, well, that's why you have to be born again. Because your flesh will take you to hell. That's why you have to have those old genes take you to hell. That's why you have to have new genes. You have to be re-gened or regenerated. Yeah, the Ethiopian can't change his skin. Again, I go back to Nicodemus. How can these things? I go back to all my old friends saying, what has happened to you? I go back to people even today saying, you know, you've changed. Well, that's because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Well, can we admit those are different? I mean, Jesus is making it clear that they're different. Flesh is different than spirit. Spirit is different than flesh. And so verse 5, that's why it says very clearly, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because he has sinful genes, that's why. And as we've pointed out throughout this study talking about salvation, no sin is going to enter into heaven. Romans 5, verse 12, look at it. Let's look at our genes, all right? Romans 5, verse 12. Again, G-E-N-E-S. Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. If you didn't sin, you still have sinful genes. Now, you do sin, and I do sin, But the truth is, very, very clearly, the Bible says that as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. Who's that? That's great, 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 grandpa Adam. What was Eve's fault? Doesn't matter. That's we're all related. That's where we got our genes from, sin. And so death, what happened? Death passed upon all men. Why? Because of the sinful genes. Now Hebrews 12 verse 14 says this. You don't have to turn there, but write it down. It says this, says, follow peace with all men and holiness. Now watch this. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Without what? Without holiness. Well, if I try to get to heaven in my fleshy genes, it's not possible. Because they're not holy. Come on now. Stay with me. I'm going to leave you happy. So go ahead and smile. Okay? Without which no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about the new birth. And that's referred to in Ephesians 4, verse 24. Just write it down. And that ye put on the new man. Oh, the new man. Yeah. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the new man. So the old man is sinful, unrighteous, unholy, and the new man is true holiness. Why? Created in Christ Jesus, who never sinned. Oh, wow. Yeah. Now look, here's the thing. You can clean up your sinful genes. You can scrub them. You can scrub at them. And what do you mean? You can join a church. You can do good works. You can get baptized. You can do all kinds of catechism and Bible courses and all those kind of things. Honestly, you can take the Lord's Supper. All those, you can do all those kind of things. But you still have the same genes and their flesh. Like I say, doesn't matter. You're here today. You say, "Well, I've never been saved. I think I'm going to church. I'm doing," and all those things are fine. They're wonderful, and that's a good thing. But understand this: it cannot save you because you still have the same genes. They're Adam's passed on, and you're a sinner, and you can't undo that. It's impossible to undo that. Okay, what am I going to do? You have to be born with new genes. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. It is essential. You see, the flesh genes are going to go to hell because they can't go to heaven because they're not holy. It's impossible. Can't do it. And so they're going to go to hell. And so I need sinless genes. I need perfect genes. I need holy genes, and therefore I must be regened by God's Spirit. In the book of Genesis, you'll remember the creation story, which, by the way, that is the truth. It is the truth. But the Bible says very clearly about everything He created. The Bible says, after His kind. And everything reproduces after His kind. Plants, the seed of the plant, brings forth more plants. That's why we get so upset when those little cute little fuzzy things appear on our dandelions. You know what I'm talking about? You know, and the kids pick them and they say, "Look, Daddy!" And there they go, out into your yard to turn it yellow. And the kids all say, "Isn't that pretty?" And the dads all say, right? And so plants bring forth more plants. Animal seed, that brings forth more animals. Stay with me now. Human seed brings forth more humans. And that's all it does, after His kind. Very clear in Scripture. That's why we didn't come from apes. Okay, it's impossible. It's not. It cannot be. Can't even entertain it. Well, we look like, some folks look like other creatures, too. I almost said a creature, but I didn't because it's Sunday morning. Anyway, if plant seeds bring forth plants and animal seed bring forth animals and human seed bring forth humans, wouldn't it make sense that spirit seeds bring forth spirit? Amen. That which is of the spirit is spirit. Flesh is flesh, right? Now watch this, and this will change your life right here. Plants don't become animals. I don't care what you do. Feed a plant cat food. Do it forever. We demonstrated that here in church years ago. It's not possible. Can't happen. I don't know if we fed a plant cat food or dog food, but it just doesn't happen. It cannot take place. All right. Plants don't become humans. Well, those are fake. They're plastic. But feed a plant T-bone steak. Try it. It will not become a human. It cannot take place. All right? Animals don't become plants. Feed your dog plant food. See what happens. I was going to say, no, I'm not going to say it. I've learned to leave the cat people alone. I really have. God has worked in my heart, and I am not. But if you, for example, if you had a hamster. All right. What illustration can I use here? Okay, so you have a little animal, and you decide that you want it to become a plant. Dig a hole. Bury it in the yard, water it, put weed and feed all over it and everything, and see if it grows up a plant. It won't. Doesn't work. Why? Because everything reproduces after its kind. Everything. The plants, the animals, the humans. Okay? By the way, we did this years ago. I don't know how you remember that, Kayla. But you're probably the only one who does, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. But you know, you take a plant and get it to memorize Bible verses. Baptize it. Baptize a plant. Let the plant take communion. It isn't going to get it to heaven because it can't become spiritual. Amen. Amen. It can't cross over into the spiritual realm because it's a plant. I don't care what you do. Okay, bring your dog. Don't bring your dog. But we baptize the dog, and the dog. You know, dogs talk now. They've got all kinds of YouTubes and things about talking dogs and everything. And I'm amazed that anybody even pays attention to it. But anyway, but you know, have the dog quote verses, maybe you say, give the shortest verse in the Bible, and the dog goes, "Roof, roof, roof." You know, and you say, "Oh, Jesus wept. Oh, yes." And you put it on YouTube, make millions. But the truth of the matter is that dog can do all those religious things, and it's still not going to be spiritual because it can't cross over. Now, same thing's true with a human. A human, you can't make a human a plant, though some act like it. You can't make a human an animal. You can't make a human spiritual. You can't make it, okay, it can do all the religious things in the world. It isn't going to change the fact that it's a human. What has to happen? It has to be born again. It is so important. It has to be regened. Humans can't jump into the spiritual realm. They must be reborn. And they have to be born spiritual with God's genes. James 1:18. All right, I'm so close to being done, it's amazing. If you look intelligent for the next few minutes, we'll be done. James 1:18, it says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." How were we begotten? With the word of truth. "That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, created ones." How are we born? How are we begotten? With the word of God, the word of truth. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, verse 23, it says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Isn't that good? So my first birth was of corruptible human seed. My second birth is from incorruptible God's seed, the word of God. By the way, that's why we preach the word of God. That's why if you preach anything else but the word of God, you won't see people get saved. You need the word of God, the perfect, infallible word of God. That's why we preach it, we use it. That's why we go soul winning with it. It's the word of God, being born again of that incorruptible. That's the only way people can be saved, is the word of God. Amen. So regeneration is an event. One time, takes place, boom. Regeneration is essential. You must be born again. Number three, regeneration is eternal. This was so good. You know, I hope some of you, you know, you come back to us here. Regeneration is eternal. Now, man's genes, we already know this. It's appointed unto man once to die. Man's genes die. We're you know, we senior citizens, we're feeling it. You know, it just starts happening. I mean, it's, you know, you can't do all that you did. And, Brother Frank and I, we were out there with those scrub brushes, scrubbing tables and chairs yesterday. Somebody said we kind of looked alike bent over. And I had no idea what they meant, brother. There was a day that wouldn't have been a big deal. Today, when I woke up, it was a big deal. I'm telling you. Now, we're feeling that. Because why? Because man's genes are not eternal. They die. Bodies die. See? But God's genes, they are eternal. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 23. We just read it. 1 Peter 1, 23. Go back there. I want you to see it again. 1 Peter 1, 23. I should have kept my page there. You probably have yours already there. How many of you are already there? See? And I turned my page back. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. Notice what it says. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Watch this. Which liveth and abideth forever. Where's that second birth seed come from? It's eternal. Liveth and bideth and abideth forever. I love that. What's that mean? That means to live. So to live forever, you must be born again. You have to be born of forever genes, not temporary genes. See? You have to be regened with those forever genes. Amen. Eternal life can't come from temporal life. Plants die. Yours did. Right? Animals die. All that came. Humans die. But eternal seed brings forth eternal life. Amen. Eternal life can't come from temporal life. But watch this now. Stay with me. Come on now. Just a few more minutes. I'm making you think a little bit. But neither can temporal life come from eternal life. That's going to kick in a minute. Temporary life can't come from eternal life either. What do you mean? Once I've been born again with eternal life, it can't change into temporal life. Amen. What's that mean? It means I'm secure. Amen. Which I'll be talking about again tonight. That's so good, isn't it? I'm excited. Now, wait a minute. First genes. I received, or I was born with those genes, April 18th, 1958. 55. You hurt me. Those genes will die. Those genes can't possibly get me to heaven. Are you listening? Those genes will cause my soul to go to hell. That's how it is. Because those are temporary, corruptible, from Adam genes. My second genes I received September of 1975. Those genes will never die. That's salvation. That is regeneration. I was regened September 1975. And those genes will never die. I close with number four. Number one, I said that regeneration is an event. Number two, I said regeneration is essential. Number three, I said regeneration is eternal. Number four, regeneration is exciting. Amen. It's exciting. I'm a new creature. September 1975. New creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New creature. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Oh, people said, what has happened to you? Something is different. Oh, is it ever? I'm a new person. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. I'm born again. I'm born from above. I've got new genes. And so what am I? I'm a new creature with old creature nature. That's what I am. I'm a new creature. Boy, it's exciting. Isn't that great? But I have an old nature. I have that old sinful nature. I have a new nature. It's spiritual. But I have an old nature that's sinful. I have a new nature that says, wow, I want to go to church. I have an old nature that says, I'd rather stay home and watch TV. I have a new nature that says, oh, I've got to get in the Word of God. I want to learn more. But I have an old nature that says, oh, that's boring. Are you listening? I have an old nature that wants to cuss and swear. And I'm ashamed of that old nature. Because I have a new nature that wants to praise God's name. Amen. Yeah. And so what do I have? I have a constant battle going on. I don't know if anybody could say it any better than the Apostle Paul said it in Romans chapter 7. I don't know any better way to describe it than the Apostle Paul. What a frustration. The old flesh genes have wicked thoughts and actions and memories and everything else. The new genes, they just want to do right. Two natures beat within my breast. The one is foul, the other blessed. The one I love, the other I hate. The one I feed will dominate. And it's a constant battle. See, I can't clean up the old genes, but I can put on the new genes, as it said in Ephesians. And the more and more I put on the new genes, the more and more that new life dominates. But I close with this thought. I got so happy about this, I just about did cartwheels. But I knew I'd pay for that, so I didn't. I got a guarantee. The old genes are going to hold me back only so long. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, here's how I know that. Because the old genes die. And to be absent from the old genes is to be present with the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Praise God's name. Hey, they're just temporary. Then, so shall we ever be with the Lord in our new genes. Isn't that good? Because the new genes never die. You're here today as a Christian. That's shouting territory right there. You're here today as a born-again believer. You're a child of God. Understand, the old frustration's going to go away someday because it's going to die. Well, I'm a little nervous about death. I understand that. Never done it before. But I can tell you this, when you die, the old genes die. The new genes live on. That's all that's left. Praise God. I love that. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. In our new genes. You're here today without Christ. You must be born again. The old genes are going to take you to hell. You must be re-gened with the genes from God above. Eternal genes, perfect genes, holy genes, without which you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I urge you to get saved today if you're not saved. And Christian, I urge you today, just keep putting on the new genes. Just emphasize the new life. Study the Word of God. Say no to the devil. Resist the devil, he'll flee. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.